When was the last time you changed your mind about a thing, a person, or an event? Really changed your mind. In the first reading from the book of Jonah, which has nothing to do with a whale, because you've read the last sections of it, of that very short book this morning, the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah, is a story about the nature of God's grace and Jonah's rejection of it. And God appointed a worm. Best sentence in all of the scripture. And Jonah is angry because God changed his mind. Paul's letter to the Philippians speaks about being of one heart and one mind in the body of the faithful as they struggle, as he struggled. The nature of unity in the midst of struggle. Our own faith, Trinitarian faith, God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the traditional language of the church is about community, is about organic nature of a deep and moving God, a God of movement. Not a God of the solid and the unmoving, but a God moving with the ancient Israelites who were tent dwellers, who moved around, pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. The ancient Christians themselves were tent dwellers. It wasn't until much later that the church got stuck with buildings. But we always understood ourselves as baptized into what? We didn't get baptized into a building, we got baptized into the body of Christ. Body. Bodies move. Today we have a gospel reading, this wonderful parable, my favorite parable, only because we heard it today. Next week, that'll be my favorite parable. But this wonderful, moving parable, which is really quite penetrating and challenging for all of us because it describes this very, very strange kingdom of God. Well, the first will be last, and the last will be first. This divine reversal of fortunes, which we already got a clue of in Matthew's gospel, because remember, blessed are the poor, blessed are the mourning, blessed are the weak. That upside-down nature of the kingdom of God is expressed again in this parable, too, because we have, and Jesus makes no mistake about it, because he means to confront his hearers and us. Because the way he structures his parable, remember, he's got these workers lined up, and he says, well, let's wait, let's have the people that work the longest wait till they get paid. So you can imagine them standing there, watching the people who've only got to put in an hour, they're watching this thing, and the manager gives them same wage as they've got. They're thinking to themselves, wow, I wonder what we're going to get. Double overtime. The next people who work half the day get the same wages. They're starting to wonder what's going on here. They get the same wage, and they are outraged by it. Now, in case you're wondering, this is not about labor law. Neither is this about justice. This is about the injustice of the grace of God to Jesus' hearers. Remember, this is a group of people who have heard for their whole lives and for lives before him that there was a fixed nature of the divine presence, and you played by that rule. If you played by that rule, you would get goodies. If you didn't, you were condemned. If you were born into the right family, you're okay. If you're not, you're gone. A rigid system of the structure of divine justice, meted out mercilessly. And into this, Jesus is playing this parable with them, and it could not have landed on any way that it lands on us. Odd, strange, awkward. What is he talking about? You know, we're not that much different from the hearers of this parable when Jesus first told it. Look at your life. Look at my life. I live in a system of rewards and punishments. We exist in it. You work in it. You raise your families by it. You were raised in it. You do good, you get rewarded. You do bad, you get punished. You do really well, you get really well off. You do really badly, you wind up really poorly off. It's the system. If you're born in a certain family, you're okay. If you're not, you're suspect. It's the same today. Yet in the economy of God, in the kingdom of heaven, all that is thrown up in the air and reversed entirely. God's assessment of us is not something that's familiar. It's not something every day that in which we live and move and have our beings. It's totally different. And it's a challenge. The grace of God is really that radical. And I don't mean that in a political sense. I just mean that in the way we live our lives. Accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can be the most radical thing and the best thing you ever do in your life. Because it takes you out of that system of rewards and punishments and puts you somewhere else. You land as a citizen of a different kingdom of God. Imagine the freedom that affords us. The problem is, can we change? When was the last time you changed your mind? Now that's important because for those of us who understand belief in this way, it's critical, critically important. There's one model of belief. That is, it's all there, written down. God said it. I believe it. So be it. Period. That doesn't sound like a body to me. Because we don't have faith in a belief system. We have faith in the body of Christ. And that moves. And that grows. You see, I'm never going to be finished as a Christian. I need to be continually in the finishing process till I am finally completed in the immediate presence of God at my death and my resurrection. That means I've got to change my mind. I've got to be open to that idea that at the same time as I have a firm conviction in my heart about the nature of God and the kingdom of God, I've got to be also changing. See, that's what repentance means. You've heard me tell you this over and over again, that repent. But, you know, metanoia, metamorphosis, change, meta, change, noia, mind, paranoia is the word you're familiar with, changing your mind. Repentance isn't about groveling on your knees and I call Christ before an icon of Christ. No, it is changing your mind, literally to rethink. So, becoming more and more in the full stature of Christ means I've got to keep rethinking. I have to have the humility and grace of my sense that I don't have it yet and that I need more. I need more wisdom. I need more of the presence of Christ. I need more grace. And it never operates on the level of the way we normally live our lives. When was the last time you changed your mind about things that matter?